let us sing to Yahweh.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into the divine presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise.
It is good to give you thanks, O Yahweh.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your steadfast love in the morning.
And your faithfulness by night.
To the music of the lute and harp.
To the melody of the lyre.
For you, O God, have made us glad by your work.
All the works of your hands we sing for joy.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care.
Recently, Shirley and I were looking at some of the early chapters of the Book of Acts, and I was particularly struck by the story of Stephen. It seemed to have a special relevance for our situation just now. Stephen had been brought before the Jewish religious leaders on a charge of constantly speaking against the Jerusalem temple and declaring that Jesus of Nazareth would destroy that temple and overturn the law and religious customs that had come down from Moses. And these were the very things in which the religious establishment found their identity and their security. So what was Stephen's response? He reminded them of their history as a people. God had never been restricted to one place or to a special building. He was a pilgrim God. He first appeared to Abraham in distant Mesopotamia and called him to leave his country and his people for an unknown destination. God was with him as he travelled, never settling into a permanent home. God was with Joseph in Egypt. He revealed himself to Moses in the desert and travelled with the people of Israel through the desert in a moving tent. He was even with his people in their exile in Babylon. As one commentator summarised it, God's presence cannot be localised and no building can confine him. God has pledged a solemn covenant so that wherever his people are, he is there with them. And that's still true today. As we pass through a time which could well make us feel unsettled and insecure in all sorts of ways. And it's instructive too to see what the sequel was to Stephen's speech. The religious leaders were absolutely furious. They dragged Stephen out of the city and stoned him to death. And we read, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Yet this apparent disaster for the church was something that God used to fulfill his intentions for them. As we read a few verses later, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And that pattern continued through the book of Acts. It's continued throughout church history. God used and still uses crises and apparent disasters and setbacks as a way of taking his purposes forward. And I'm sure we can look to him to do the same in the days that lie ahead of us now, both for us individually and as a church. And as Jesus promised his disciples before he left them, surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age.
Hi. What have I learned from lockdown? I've learned some practical lessons. One of them being that you shouldn't try and trim your fringe when you've just applied face cream, because it just sticks to your face and you end up looking like some sort of hairy beast. Not good. I've learned that I enjoy work, which will come as a shock to many of you because normally I can't get enough time off. But I have found that I'm not ready to retire and I value the fact that I can go out to work. I've learned that as a nation, we are very accepting and very law-abiding, cooperative, aiming to please. And because of this, many people have become quite anxious and fearful, which makes me sad. It does. I see people on a day-to-day basis who are very fearful of even leaving their front door, and that does make me really sad. I've learned that I can be a bit impatient and a bit intolerant, which isn't good, and I need to work on those things. God has been good to me throughout this. I've learned that, and I've learned that we have a faithful and constant God. He is always there, and he knows what we need and when we need it. And that has been proven to me throughout this time. I'd like to say that, as many of you have said, that I've been able to study the word more and that my faith has grown. But in all honesty, it hasn't really. My faith hasn't wavered and is still strong, but I haven't been able to dedicate time to reading the Bible more or even praying more. My prayers have maybe become more focused over this time, but I've learned. So faith-wise, I don't think much has changed, or I haven't had any huge lessons about my faith. What have I learned about the world, looking back in retrospect, about this time? I think that the world we live in is beautiful and an amazing place, but I think that at times we take it for granted, and I think that what was initially a coming together, sort of internationally and nationally, is now beginning to fall apart, and I think that more and more nations are beginning to do things that suit themselves and go their own ways again, which again is something that does bring sadness and in some cases fear. So some positives and some negatives on my reflections. I think maybe it comes across as quite negative, but I don't mean it to. Reflecting this time, it's been a time of stress and anxiety, I suppose, for me in many ways with work. But throughout the whole thing, God has upheld me and been constant. So that's really good. And without him, I don't know where I would be.
You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honour. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honour, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognise the honour God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world.
Tribes, people, groups, gangs, associations, castes, clans, society, ilk, kin, sort, silo, clubs, type. From football teams and riding silks to bowls clubs and political parties, groups set out to show how they are different, identifiable, collected and together, united and in. In with each other, that's what's important. But for reasons known only to the grace of God, you are in too, but a different kind of in a different kind of way, in a different kind of tribe. A tribe that has a vision bigger than itself, more significant than simply collecting the like-minded together, more gravitas than putting some people of the same ilk in one institution and getting them to wear club colours. For the story of the Bible is one of a promise made to God's self to be lover and to have a beloved, the perfect trinity and community of Father, Son and Holy Spirit, who needed nothing to be complete, but chooses to reach out to an imperfect creation and assure them to be their God, and they will be God's people. It's written large on every page of scripture that though these people do nothing special, in fact quite the opposite, the love of the great lover of the soul chooses them and makes them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, made right for God, by God, God's self. What a joy. And their calling, to enjoy God forever, to declare the praises of the one who called them out of darkness, not to lord over others, but to extend the welcome and to spend their lives living as though this love was not for them alone, but for all tribes and all nations, to the ends of the earth and to the glory of God. We call it the church, and we live to the glory of God.
Loving God, we thank you that you have called us together in this place as part of the great family of your people. We praise you for the common bond you have given us in Christ, the fact that we gather here as friends in fellowship with you and one another, and as part of the great company of your people in every time and place. In one faith we have gathered, bind us together in love. We praise you that through Jesus Christ we have become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own people called to proclaim your mighty acts in leading us out of darkness into light. Once we were no people, but you have called us to be the people of God, chosen and precious to you. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received your mercy in all its wonder. In one faith we have gathered, bind us together in love. Loving God, we praise you for your awesome love, so great that while we were yet sinners, you gave your Son for us. We praise you for your limitless patience, always forgiving despite our failure to serve you as we should. We praise you for your constant care, watching over us as a father watches over his children. In one faith we have gathered, bind us together in love. Help us to call you our Father, not just in name but in truth, to be obedient to you, to seek your guidance, to accept your discipline and trust your judgment. Help us to learn what it means to be your people, to appreciate just how wide and great is the extent of your love. And teach us to show that same love and care in all our dealings with one another. In one faith we have gathered, bind us together in love. Loving God, we meet together again as your people. May we be encouraged through being with you and being with one another. So may your family in this church and all represented here in this town and every place grow and flourish to the glory of your name. In one faith we have gathered. Bind us together in love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.